It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company underway. Hope your day's treating you well. Hope you have an outstanding weekend. And we'll do our best to start it on the right foot here in our hour get-together. It is November 3rd of 2023. And the quarterfinal round of the high school football playoffs for all classes besides a player who took part last night. And in case you haven't seen him yet, I got the results from a trio of area teams that were in action. We'll get to that when we get to area sports news and scores, like always, in the opening segment of the show. But appreciate your attendance. However you are tuned in, whether it's 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter, at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650thefan on the Zuck machine. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports content in your Facebook feed. And make sure to bookmark the website. Of course, that'll get you to that stream quicker. It'll get you to Audio On Demand, the podcast of this show. Today's Waterloo Blackhawks weekend preview. A unique weekend, I suppose, to put it that way, with the Hawks only playing on Saturday night. So Muskegon will be at Young Arena tomorrow night. That's a 5:45 pregame. As a result, Iowa State football tomorrow night against Kansas will be over on Cruising KCFI. I'll bring you more details on that when we get through the stack of area sports news and scores. We will have time to put a Big 12 football game on the air here tomorrow on The Fan as a top 25 showdown in the Big 12. Kansas State on the road at Texas. Pregame coverage of that will begin at 10:30 tomorrow morning with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Meanwhile, tonight over on Cruising KCFI, of course, Cedar Falls Tiger football in the 5A quarterfinals against Southeast Polk. We'll dig into that a little bit here on the show. Here's some audio from Tigers coach Brad Remmert. But also, if you want to join in, add any questions or comments to the program, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show your questions or comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Don't be shy. Send an email. Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Just know if you email me, might read it on the show. Try to keep your profanities to a minimum. I know it's hard. All right, after we get done with area sports news and scores, we'll take the first time out, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. Looking like the weather it's going to be pretty gosh darn good as far as early November is concerned. So get out there and enjoy it. We'll come back in the second segment, and my colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join. He does a great job covering Iowa State football. We're going to break it down. Iowa State, Kansas, get Rob's thoughts on Iowa State's big win last Saturday against Baylor, And also, we should have some time to talk a little Iowa State men's basketball, as this coming Monday, right here on The Fan, you'll hear it, your official station for Cyclone Nation, Iowa State men's basketball season opener Monday against Green Bay. It's either a 6 or a 6:30 pregame. You can get those details always at 1650thefan.com. Scroll over the on-air section of the homepage menu and click on broadcast calendar. That's where all the information is for all of our sports broadcasts on all of our Koloff stations here in Cedar Falls. All right, after we are done talking Iowa State football and men's basketball with Rob Gray in segment two, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that timeout. Come back on the other side in the third segment, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join. You follow him on X at Logan underscore Blackman. We'll do our usual college football week 8, NFL week 9, picks of the weekend, chop it up about everything that's going on. The Brian Ferentz dismissal, Iowa at Northwestern at Wrigley Field tomorrow, Iowa State, Kansas, UNI, Western Illinois. Also, you know, we got to talk about Logan's Bills. They got a huge game Sunday night that you'll hear right here on The Fan. Bills at Bengals for Sunday night football. That ought to be a good one. And then, as I mentioned, of course, our picks of the weekend. I tell you what, I've been doing pretty good. If you've been taking my picks, I mean, 2 out of 3, like you can count on it. Like you can set your watch to it. That's how good it's been so far this season. So just saying. I don't want to jinx myself. I just knocked on wood. Probably not going to save me. Famous last words. But as I always say, I welcome you to fade us if you do not have the confidence. But if you've been taking my picks, your wallet's probably got a few more greenbacks in it at this point. Just saying. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then come back and wrap up a Football Friday edition of the show. Hey, quickly, did you see this? Coach Prime Sanders demotes his offensive coordinator, Sean Lewis, and Pat Shurmur. You remember Pat Shurmur? He's the OC for the Denver Broncos most recently. He was the head coach for the New York Giants for a little while. You know, been around the NFL for quite some time. Well, Shurmur was an analyst for Colorado. And a lot of those, you know, the big Power Five schools have a modest staff of analysts. And so he's being promoted to a full-time assistant coach. Somebody on staff is being demoted to analyst, and Shurmur is going to call the plays. It sounds like it's still Lewis's offense, his scheme, but Shermer's going to call the plays. And I tell you what, for as much criticism that's already out there, a lot of it, I would say, unfair of Deion Sanders, I think there's a lot of fair criticism to have here of this move. I would like to think that there would be enough collaboration, enough mutual understanding that you wouldn't need to make such a personnel decision on your coaching staff, that you could get together as a team, realize, you know, what might need to change by nature of the fact that you cannot protect, your son, your quarterback, Shedeur Sanders. I mean, he is in harm's way week in and week out, given their shortcomings on the offensive line. And Sean Lewis is a really bright, young offensive mind, 31 years old. He had been the head coach at Kent State for 2 years prior to leaving for the OC job at Colorado. Like, his star was burning about as bright as any young coach in FBS football. He goes out to Boulder, and then what is it? It's week 8, and he's demoted from being the play caller. Say what you will. I know people will think this is the new school mentality. But if I'm Sean Lewis, I'm looking for a way out, because him and Prime should have been able to come to some sort of understanding here on what needs to change. Short of any sort of personnel changes on the staff of this magnitude. And for Deion, that preaches about being an old school guy, and, you know, like we're gonna make it through adversity because we're tough, we're old school, and really just like. You know, and if you call yourself an old school guy, then you don't want, or you don't respect the quote unquote instant gratification element of society. And to me, that's kind of what this falls into. It's like, well, we need change, so let's just make this move. Like, we'll make this move, and, you know, it's got to be better. Of course, you know, it'll be better. I'm Coach Prime. Like, and I have not criticized Dion. I mean, maybe a little critique here and there, maybe, but I don't really even think I have. There's a lot of unfair criticism of Dion just for his personality, his kind of flash. That is what it is, and the young kids like it, so I'm not going to criticize that. But this is football stuff, man, and I don't think this is a very good idea. I my money would be on this not working, but we'll see. I am open to being proven wrong, but I do think that if you're the type where, whether you have or you haven't been criticizing Dion, I think you could acknowledge that he is a lightning rod. By nature of that, there's going to be unfair criticism. This is fair game to criticize him on this. And myself and any of you that want to take part in it, we could be proven wrong, but it stinks. I didn't anticipate this being a move that that Coach Prime would make, but I don't know. We'll see. All right, area sports news and scores for a football Friday. We'll start with volleyball. Dyke New Hartford capped off a dominant season, winning the Class 2A State Volleyball Championship yesterday. The top-ranked Wolverines swept second-ranked Hinton 25-14, 25-23, and 25-16. Dyke New Hartford finishes its season 50-0. The Wolverines dropped just one set their entire season. The Wolverines are the first team to go unbeaten since Dyke New Hartford went 45-0 in 2012 and in 2013. Congratulations to the Wolverines. Last night in the 8-player quarterfinals of the playoffs, Winfield Mount Union got past Don Bosco 34-29, and Gladbrook Rhinebeck got revenge on Clarksville 32-20. The Rebels will next face Bedford in the 8-player semifinals this coming Wednesday at 1 in the Unidome. Those high school football playoff quarterfinals continue tonight, and we start in Class A, where Wapsie Valley has a home game against West Hancock. Both teams are 9-1. Top-ranked Grundy Center plays host to rival Dyke New Hartford. Spartans unbeaten 10-0. Wolverines are 7-3 in 1A. Also in 1A, I should say, Waterloo Columbus Catholic playing host to Sumner Fredericksburg. The Sailors are 8-2. While the Cougars are 9-1, here is Sailors coach Brad Schmidt talking about how he likes his team's focus headed into tonight's playoff quarterfinal.
Our kids know that, you know, it's win or go home. I think the level of urgency in practice has ramped up. The level of urgency from the coaching staff has also ramped up, and that's good. You know, you want to be in high-stress situations throughout the week during practice, you know, and the fact that this game just means a little bit more. Is awesome.
In Class 5A, Cedar Falls on the road at two-time defending state champ Southeast Polk. Tigers are 7-3, Rams 10-0. Listen to the game on Cruising KCFI tonight, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM. Pregame at 6:20, kickoff at 7. Here is Tigers coach Brad Rimmert talking about the Tigers hoping to slow down Southeast Polk quarterback Connor Moberly.
Well, it's going to be a huge challenge for us. If you look at what he's done up to this point, you know, as a unit, they've thrown for over 2,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, and does a real good job. They do some RPO stuff, which puts pressure on your backers in your secondary, and so it's going to be a huge challenge. So we got to give them some different looks and be able to get a little bit of pressure up front and kind of try to confuse him the best we can.
The UNI volleyball team plays host to Indiana State tonight at McLeod Center. First serve is at 6. The first-place Panthers remain undefeated in the Missouri Valley Conference at 13-0. You can listen to the game on 106.5 Corn Country. UNI football plays host to Western Illinois tomorrow at the Unidome. It's going to be the final conference matchup between the two teams. Western Illinois is headed to the Ohio Valley Conference after this season. UNI has won 5 of its last 6 games and is tied for second in the Valley at 4-1. Pre-game coverage begins at noon tomorrow on 93.5 The Mix, kickoff at 1. The third-ranked Wartburg football team wraps up its regular season on the road at Nebraska Wesleyan tomorrow. The Knights are 9-0, looking to finish the regular season undefeated for the second straight year. Kickoff is at 1. The Iowa football team enters the final month of the regular season with plenty of question marks after offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz will be out at the end of the season. At 3-2, the Hawkeyes are in a four-team tie for the Big Ten West, lead with four games remaining. And it's at Wrigley Field tomorrow against the Northwestern Wildcats. The Wildcats are coming off a 33-27 win over Maryland. Kickoff is at 2:30. Iowa State plays host to 22nd-ranked Kansas in its homecoming game tomorrow night. Cyclones on a three-game win streak and in a five-way tie for first place in the Big 12. Iowa State and Kansas meet for the 103rd time tomorrow night. And you can listen to the game over on Cruising KCFI pregame at 4 tomorrow, kickoff at 6. As I mentioned earlier, the Waterloo Blackhawks play just one game this weekend. The Hawks play host to Muskegon tomorrow night. Waterloo off to a 5-5 start. Muskegon tied for third in the USHL Eastern Division. Pregame begins at 5:45 tomorrow night. Puck drop at 6:05. And you could have heard it if you didn't last night on The Fan Thursday Night Football. Pittsburgh rallied to beat Tennessee 20-16. Steelers took the lead late on a 3-yard touchdown pass from Kenny Pickett to Deontay Johnson. Pittsburgh now 5-3. Titans 3-5. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll preview Iowa State, Kansas. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Isaac Lowenkron.
Three-time Cy Young Award-winning Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw announced on Instagram that he underwent surgery this morning on his left shoulder and is hopeful to return to play at some point next summer. In the NFL, Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski announced that Deshaun Watson will start at quarterback Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. Watson dealing with a strained right rotator cuff. Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon said he has not decided yet whether Kyler Murray or Clayton Tune will start at quarterback Sunday against the Browns. Rams head coach Sean McVay said quarterback Matthew Stafford would be a game-time decision for Sunday's contest against Green Bay at Lambeau Field because of a sprained right thumb. The Rams officially listed Stafford as questionable. And the Cincinnati Bengals listed running back Joe Mixon as questionable for Sunday night's showdown against the Buffalo Bills because of a chest injury.
From the preseason all the way to the Super Bowl, The Fan is the Cedar Valley's home for the NFL.
It's exciting UNI football Saturday at the Dome as the Panthers host Western Illinois kickoff at 1. It's Military Appreciation Day as veterans and active duty servicemen and women receive free admission. Panther football is affordable family fun with tickets starting at just $10. UNI versus Western Illinois Saturday at 1. Get your tickets online at unipanthers.com/tickets or call 273-4849.
Every day, First Bank is dedicated to improving our communities by supporting ag operations, local businesses, and generations of families, and by actively engaging in charitable events that uplift our community.
Our investments are in our communities, for small businesses to generational farmers. We support our local schools, organizations, and nonprofits. We invite you to be part of First Bank.
Together, we can build a stronger tomorrow.
Visit firstiowa.bank, member FDIC.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location, plus skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash, it's your time to shine.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Iowa State Cyclones, a 3-point home favorite against the Kansas Jayhawks at Jack Trice Stadium tomorrow. The total, 53.5. ISU 8-3 in night games at Jack Trice Stadium since 2017. Iowa Northwestern meet at Wrigley Field tomorrow. Hawkeyes are the 5.5-point favorite with a total of 31. Iowa 8-11 coming off a bye week under Kurt Ferentz. The NFL on Sunday, the Chicago Bears at 8.5-point dog at the Saints. The Chiefs, a 1.5-point favorite over the Miami Dolphins in Frankfurt, Germany. NBA tonight, Bulls laying 3.5 at home against the Nets. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 32. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 54. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 33. Overcast skies, Sunday. Decreasing clouds by Monday. Low 60s, Sunday. Mid 60s by Monday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 54.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
I'm having fun. It's a football Friday. What's not to like? Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us now as Iowa State has a big Big 12 battle tomorrow night. 6 o'clock kick at Jack Trice Stadium, 22nd-ranked Kansas, going to be in the house. And Rob, as always, thanks so much for your time. Just as everybody predicted, Iowa State and Kansas facing off tomorrow night on November 4th in a game that has massive implications on the Big 12.
Yeah, always good to be with you, Cole, on what's a very nice Friday this time of year in Central Iowa.
Beautiful.
That way over there as well.
Yes.
Cyclones five-way tie for first after Kansas knocked off Oklahoma for the first time in 26 years last week. Looks very impressive doing so, particularly offensively. And odd quirk of things, because Iowa State's played big Saturday night primetime games. I can think of one. I think Iowa and Fox, I think, once, not that many years ago, and all of that. But it's the first ESPN primetime Saturday night game since 1984, when Brian Bosworth was patrolling the defense for Oklahoma. So it's a historic night, and just like everyone, and just so rare for both of these programs who have gone through long periods that often coincide of irrelevance,
yeah,
to be very, very relevant this deep into the season.
Rob, let's before we really dig in on the matchup against the Jayhawks, how about a 30-18 win for Iowa State last Saturday in Waco? I think that game probably wasn't as close as the score indicated. Cartavius Norton sure looked great. What's still front of mind for you looking back at the road win against the Bears?
Yeah, I think what Iowa State has done is started to win in the margins after a season and a half of spectacularly failing to do so. I'm sure much to the consternation of Matt Campbell, who of course stresses that ad nauseum, but for good reason, because he feels that's the only way they can win at Iowa State. And it's really the only way you can win consistently everywhere, right? You can't be sloppy. You can't have the type of mistakes or turnovers or special teams gaffes that plagued them in 6 one-score losses last season and 1 score losses down the stretch in 2021. So Baylor, they played far from a perfect game, but yet they had great control until Rocco turned it over, just his third interception late in the first half, and then Baylor got their first touchdown, 17-0 at the time. And then the Cyclones took control again, and Baylor kind of got back in it a little bit because of, you know, a couple of misfires from Rocco, who said he thought he was, you know, did not play a good game. And you know, so it says something for Iowa State that they did enough of the little things really well to come out with a 2-score win against an okay Baylor team. On its homecoming. 2 straight homecoming wins for Iowa State on the road, and now they try to slow down this Kansas offense, particularly the running game, in their own homecoming tomorrow night.
Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. Where's Iowa State at in terms of injury? Is Abu Sama still a little banged up, Rob? And I know T.J. Tampa, he's going to have to sit out the first half of Saturday night's game because of the targeting last game. So what does it look like with starters and injury and the targeting deal?
Well, I think the main concern lies in safety Jeremiah Cooper, who left that game. And Campbell, Coach Campbell said on Tuesday that he's questionable and probably 50-50. Okay. He was also speaking Tuesday, though, and he said he did get out on practice field. So there's a chance that Cooper, you know, he looks really good throughout practice and he can go. But obviously, he's the guy leading this renaissance in terms of getting interceptions. He's got 5 at the 13, the Cyclones have, which are near the top nationally in terms of total number. And he's so good in the run game, too. He and Malik Verdone both, and then Bo Freeley's their leading tackler at safety as well. So just a stellar safety core. It'll be a big, it'll be a considerable drop off if Jeremiah Cooper isn't able to play. But they missed Verdone for a while, and the defense kept taking steps. You know, it showed that he was gone when he was out. But you know, they built enough depth, they think, that they can withstand that. Other than that, they feel like they're pretty good. Sama had the big run last week until he fumbled Iowa State's first lost fumble of the season and didn't come back in. But I think he's ready to go. And Norton, he's been hurt so many times. We saw him explode for a 49-yard touchdown run and then get a touchdown as well. So I think other than Cooper, they're feeling pretty healthy.
Iowa State a 3-point favorite against Kansas tomorrow night at home. Jason Bean, who's been filling in at quarterback, is a really dynamic athlete. Kansas's offense is a pretty dynamic scheme, Rob. It seems like when it comes to breaking this game down with respect to Kansas's defense, that the place to start is talking about that Jayhawk offense.
Yeah, and I mean, really, it's their running game. I mean, Devin Neal is, 771 yards, averaging darn near a touchdown a game. I think if you take into account a receiving touchdown, he might be right at that number. He's just really good. 6.7 yards a carry. But they got other guys here, too. I mean, the top three backs average 5.5 yards a carry or better. As a team, they average 5.6, which is top 15 nationally. And Iowa State has shown itself to be, at times, not as good against the run, certainly, as they have been the past 5 or 6 seasons. But they've also been getting better, especially linebackers, really young linebackers starting to come into their own. And Gary Vaughn's getting healthier at that spot. That'll be a big part of stopping or slowing down Kansas' run game. But that is a running game that I think Iowa State can stop. And Jason Beans can be a big spark in that run game as well. So if another week maybe where you deploy a spy. But not just on Bean, just to do something to get an extra hat on whoever's carrying the ball, because they definitely want to run and dictate, and they've got a very veteran offensive line capable of pushing around Iowa State's front six.
Give Iowa State's offense a decent chance of moving the ball against the KUD?
Absolutely. That's the weak link for Kansas. They've had their moments where they look really good, and they've got some playmakers. I mean, Kobe Bryant at C-O-B-E-E, Bryant on the back end, really one of the better corners in the Big 12, I believe. Got a really good safeties. They've got a pass rush, but, they have not been spectacular against the run themselves. So the way Iowa State has looked, particularly over the last 4 games, in terms of being able to run the ball well, it's a game where it's really intriguing in a lot of ways because Iowa State traditionally has a good run defense. Kansas over these last couple of years, they've come back from the bowels of the bottom of the of the conference standings for so long. It's their offense that's really kind of carried them, but their defense has its moments. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't think this is going to be one of those. It's not going to be 14-11 like it was last year in Lawrence with the Jayhawks squeezing out a win after Iowa State missed 3 field goals.
Well, what is your prediction, Rob?
Well, I put it 31-27 Iowa State. I mean, given the atmosphere, given the fact that it sold out quickly, sure, they've been close to capacity every game and probably sold out Iowa game, certainly, but the fans are really excited, understandably. To go from that Ohio game where they just looked lost and And, you know, there was zero creativity on offense, and then, boom, the creativity came to start Big 12 playing. A big win over Oklahoma State, who's just gone on to win four in a row, including against Kansas. And they got a big game, obviously, Bedlam, where they could knock Oklahoma down another peg on their way out. So intriguing week of games, but a game, but I think if Iowa State, unless Iowa State shoots itself in the foot too much, and that, and you know, they seem to be reversing that trend, or they have been reversing it. Can they continue to keep it reversed? I think they pull out a really exciting win, which will definitely see some fireworks for sure.
Rob, we'll be following your coverage tomorrow night and look forward to this big Big 12 showdown between Iowa State and Kansas. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Cole. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you. Take care, Rob. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, on a Football Friday edition of Cole and Company. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. On the other side, we continue talking football. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins. We'll make our picks of the weekend, look at college football week 8, NFL week 9. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State looks to maintain at least a share of the Big 12 lead by hosting Kansas under the lights tomorrow. The key for the Cyclones, slowing down a Jayhawk run game that's averaging better than 213 yards per contest in conference play.
You look at a team probably on the opposite side, that they have everybody back. All 11 players have played a ton of minutes, not just for 2 years, but for some of these guys 4 or 5 years. I mean, this is the most veteran offense that we played by far.
That's ISU coach Matt Campbell. Iowa takes a 6-2 record to Wrigley Field to take on Northwestern. At 4-4, the Wildcats are considered a surprise under interim coach David Braun.
You know, we just look at this. It's another tough Big Ten road game. Expect it to be competitive, really competitive and really tight. And you know, I'm guessing both teams are looking at it that way as we go into it.
That's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
Are you having a hard time finding ag podcasts? We can help. The podcast directory at agraamerica.com allows you to search by category and topic, so it's quick and easy to find what you're looking for. Ag Chicks, Farm for Profit, Heart of Rural America, The Shark Farmer Podcast, Real Ag Radio, and more are featured on Agra America. Our extensive directory has something for everyone. Discover a new ag podcast today by visiting agraamerica.com. That's agraamerica.com.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, or just need someone to listen, 988 provides a direct connection to free, confidential, and compassionate support. When you call, text, or chat 988, you'll be quickly connected to trained crisis counselors who will listen to your concerns, provide support, and connect you to additional resources if needed. There is hope. You are not alone. For 24/7 support, call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org.
Hi, I'm Emily Frederick, Director of School and Community Relations for the Waterloo Community School District. Graduating high school can be both an exciting moment and one of uncertainty. That's why the Waterloo Career Center is here to help your student graduate with both a diploma and a plan. Our hands-on environment provides Eastern Iowa students with education and purpose. We'll help your student discover their passion and help them succeed through the Waterloo Community School District's widely recognized award-winning Career Center. Your student can experience an internship, apprenticeship, free college credits, and more, all in a fun, engaging, state-of-the-art environment. Through the Waterloo Career Center, students from Waterloo and surrounding communities have access to work experiences in 18 different fields, including nursing, early childhood education, marketing, culinary, and more. Visit us online at wcc.waterlooschools.org. Waterloo Community Schools, where the future is now.
The Shirt Shack in Cedar Falls, super fast and super good. The Shirt Shack can put your business's logo on t-shirts, polos, quarter zips, sweatshirts, hats, and more. They're also the number one place to go to get your team shirts from youth to high school sports. And get it fast. Turnarounds generally just 3 to 5 business days after approval. Take a look at everything they have to offer at ShirtShackIA.com. The Shirt Shack in Cedar Falls.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick, and you're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert weekday afternoons from 5 till 6 right here on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Football Friday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan, as usual, in the third segment of a Friday. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast is our guest right now. Make sure you follow him on X at @Logan_Blackman. Plenty to talk about with college football, the NFL. We'll make our picks of the weekend in due time. But first things first, Logan, thanks so much for being here. And let people know what's on your latest podcast and where they can find it.
So, yeah, we've got our last podcast we recorded was on Wednesday. We go over some Halloween candy. You guys, you know, Beggar's Night or Trick or Treat was on. Well, I guess I don't know how they do it over there in Cedar Falls, but down here in Des Moines, we got Beggar's Night the day before Halloween. I don't know. So I know a lot of people trick or treat on Halloween, but we did a Halloween tier list, like a candy tier list. We obviously went over the whole Brian Ferentz situation. We went through the first college football playoff rankings as well. Bills barely beating the Bucks on Thursday Night Football. We go over the trade deadline as well and look at some potential MVP favorites for the upcoming season and reveal our Week 9 quarterback rankings as well. So it's a very loaded episode, very emotional episode, so I would very much recommend you go listen to it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yeah, a lot of content there in that pod. We'll talk about some of that, and why not? Let's start with the big news on Monday, where Iowa Interim Athletic Director Beth Getz informed Brian Ferentz he will not be retained at the end of this season. Not that anybody was necessarily surprised by this news. The timing, if anything, was what was surprising, Logan. But I just to get your general thoughts, what do you think about it all?
Yeah, like you said, the fact that it happened was not the surprising part. It was just the timing of the situation. He's not anywhere close to reaching the 25 points per game mark. So by that little tidbit of his contract stipulations, he was already gone. But I don't think, after listening to the press conferences, listening to Kirk talk, I don't think Kirk really wanted to make the change. If Kirk had it his way, it sounded like that he was just going to keep Brian on. And it was just going to be this continuous thing for Iowa football, because you look at the Big Ten West, you don't need to average a lot of points
no.
to win the games of the Big Ten West.
No.
It's a really sad state of affairs in that side of the conference. But with the likes of Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA, who they play next year, coming over, you've got to improve that side of the ball. And who knows who they're able to bring in. It'll be interesting to see how they go from there. But, yeah, not surprising how it happened. When it happened, though, like you said again, that's the real surprising part about this whole situation.
Yeah, when I was talking about it Monday on the show, one of the things that I really tried to get across was, okay, we knew this was going to happen. It was only a matter of time. So now the conversation can shift to what's really important, and that is, will Kirk Ferentz go outside the box at all for this new offensive coordinator? And even if he did, will he give this guy autonomy to run his offense, install his playbook, call his plays, create his game plan? And I said, if you are an offensive coordinator that is going to take an interview, you have to have the nerve to look the college football's longest tenured head coach in the eyes and ask those questions. And if you don't get the answer that you need to get, then you need to withdraw your name from the job, because you would be committing career malpractice.
Yeah, I always remember back in the day when Ken O'Keefe first left as the offensive coordinator at Iowa, they brought in Greg Davis. It was like, oh man, this is the guy that had Colt McCoy. This is the guy who had Vince Young and all these people. Iowa's offense is going to be so awesome. And it just wasn't that. And it was kind of one of those situations, not to this extent, but it wasn't anything that amazing. What we were told was going to happen, what we thought was going to happen, didn't end up taking place. So, yeah, it's going to need Kirk stepping back a little bit, taking his hands outside the offense, and then, yeah, getting that new guy in to get some new ideas, because this Iowa offense, putting it lightly, is kind of becoming archaic. It's not any, they haven't adjusted anything since after Brad Banks left. It's
yeah.
been pretty much the exact same offense since then. So if they don't do those changes, they'll be left behind, but especially now with this whole conference realignment stuff. So, yeah, they got to get someone in that will proactively try to change things. Like, maybe we see a little more spread. Maybe we see some RPO stuff. Who knows? It's going to be hard for Kirk to do that, but once he does let go, if he does at all, because that's the big thing, if he does.
Yeah.
Once he's able to do that, we may be able to see, you know, some really, really fun Iowa offense, because, you know, can't really – can't really do that right now. So it's going to be interesting how the rest of the season goes in, how they handle the offseason.
I know this is going to sound ageist, but whatever, it is what it is. If there's one thing I know about people that are older, Logan, it's that they're very open and welcoming of change.
Exactly.
How about Iowa Northwestern at Wrigley Field? I'm not sure I want to see Wrigley Field. I'm still sour about the Cubs missing the playoffs, but I watched a little bit of a Big Ten Network replay of Northwestern Maryland, and when I was watching it, I was like, Northwestern looks better than I thought they would. Not that they're great, but this is a team that's capable of beating Iowa.
Yeah, it's another one of those games where you look before the Minnesota game, you're like, oh, Iowa has a really good shot at finishing 11-1. They might not lose their game the rest of the season. Look how easy the rest of the schedule is. Mm-hmm. And then after the Minnesota loss, you're like, ooh, that Northwestern game, that might be a little tougher than we initially thought they did, because they beat Minnesota. And then not only that, like you said, they beat Maryland. So it's going to be an interesting one. Not going to be the most exciting game of all time.
Oh,
I think
no
it's
kidding.
Now over 30 points. I think it's with the over-under over 30 now.
Maybe, but it opened at like 29.5, did it not?
No, yeah, it was at 29 initially. So I don't know if it's bumped up or not or anything, but it's not going to be the most enjoyable game. But it's a game Iowa should realistically win. But that Minnesota game, that changed a lot of feelings that I had for the rest of the season, because I didn't really think there was going to be a chance Iowa lost that game against Minnesota. And obviously they ended up doing it with a lot of different things taking place in that game. But this every game the rest of the season, I'm like, you know what, we'll play it out. I'm not going to say anything about them winning or losing. They should win, but I said that against Minnesota too. So I guess we'll just play the waiting game with this one.
Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, our guest right now on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Logan, speaking of games that should be won, you and I playing host to Western Illinois tomorrow, 1 o'clock kick at the Unidome. Logan, having been a college football player, what's most important going into a game against an opponent that you can't even fathom losing to?
You just got to practice like you would against like South Dakota State. You can't treat this practice any different, because that's the games that you lose. The games you're not supposed to lose. You go in against a team that hasn't won a single game all year, and you treat it like that. Like, they have no win. We don't need to worry about this. And you'll get caught, and you'll lose, or it'll be closer than what you expected. So you got to go into every game consistent. You got to go into South Dakota State. You got to prepare for them the same way you would for Western Illinois. And after last week, got to correct some things after the second half. I thought Theo looked really good in the first half. I mean, we texted on a couple of those throws he made in the first half.
Yeah,
there's some elite level throws he was making in the first half against Illinois State last week. So, yeah, we'll see what happens going into this week. And yeah, there shouldn't be a lot of issues, but you never know. Let's just hope they're really prepared going into this one.
Yeah, just want to see more consistency out of the offense and defense, particularly against, you know, the quality opponents. They've got games against Missouri State and North Dakota State left. But, I mean, against an opponent like Western Illinois, you want to see something that's close to wire-to-wire dominance, which is what Southern Illinois did against Western a week ago. You and I is plenty capable of doing that. They should do that, and I think that'll be indicative of how close is this team to reaching its potential. Well, you know, they dominated a team they should dominate. So be interesting to see how it plays out tomorrow. There is, you know, I think it, just to make the point, to illustrate the point that there is things worth watching, even though it's a winless opponent tomorrow at the Unidome. Iowa State against Kansas, the Big 12 showdown that everybody knew was going to be massive on November 4th before the season began, Logan. This is something, man. The Cyclones and Jayhawks are squaring off with massive implications in what is a really tightly contested Big 12 race. Kansas coming off that win against Oklahoma. Iowa State coming off a win against Baylor. Iowa State's just been really good. They've steadily improved. I like Iowa State in this game as much as I like Kansas, and you know that. I've picked the fighting Lance Leipold's plenty on our picks of the weekend, but I think Kansas coming off an emotional win, Iowa State just steadily improving. I like them at home tomorrow against the Jayhawks. What do you think of this matchup?
It just depends on how they do against the quarterback run plays, whether it's Jalen Daniels or Jason Bean. If they run the ball with their quarterbacks like they have been recently, like Bean torched Oklahoma on the ground. Like last week, Kansas just was really, really good running the football. And Jalen Daniels, we no one knows if he's going to play. He dresses every single game, but he warms up. But then you're like, he's actually not going to play this week. But Bean's not the greatest or most consistent passer. But if you keep him in the pocket, they can cause a lot of issues in this game. And it's, like you said, it's a game they should win. It's at home, and I didn't think we'd be here at the start of the season. But, man, I joked about this last week about them having the same record as the Bills. But I didn't even think we'd be at a point where we'd be having conversations about Iowa State possibly being in the top 25 if they win this game. Like, it's just an insane thought process.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're doing a lot of really good things on the opposite side of the ball. Rocco Beck's looking good. I'm excited. I actually am excited to see how they pull out this game. So it's a game that means a whole lot, not just for this week or next week, but for the rest of the season. It means a lot. So it's going to be an exciting one. I'm really excited for this game.
Couple more minutes here with Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Logan, when I look at the NFL this weekend, no, the Bears at Saints is not one of the most interesting things. I mean, I'll watch the game if it's on, but I can't wait to watch Bills-Bengals on Sunday Night Football. That's something that's on my radar in the NFL this week, as well as Dolphins-Chiefs Sunday morning from Germany, especially because the Dolphins' top two cornerbacks are back in that lineup. Between those acquisitions and getting Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator this offseason, I was like, man, those are all the right moves for a team that has a explosive offense that we've seen once again this season. To me, I think the Dolphins' defense is poised to really start taking some big steps forward. And if that's the case and they hand the Chiefs their second straight loss, I think this Dolphins team, you know, the people that wanted to count them out or say they're not that good after they lost to San Fran earlier in the year, they're going to have to eat some crow.
I'm conflicted with this game because I really don't want either team to win. I despise both programs. I despise Jalen Ramsey, but him being back, like you said, is big. Like, he got an interception last week against the New England Patriots, and going into this game with the Chiefs, you know, not having the greatest receiving core. You got Patrick Mahomes coming off the flu game, and he did not perform well in his version of the flu game, but
no,
that's neither here nor there. But if he's back, this makes this game very, very interesting. Ramsey being back, the Dolphins defense getting slowly healthier, Mahomes coming off a loss. We'll see how they're able to bounce back. I'm really excited for this game. I don't know if I'll be able to get up at the start of the game, but I'm going to try my hardest. I am going to try my hardest to get up right at 8:30. Get there, watch the game, and cheer on, I don't know,
you know, Logan,
tie, I guess.
Logan, if I'm not mistaken, on your 1650 The Fan app, you can set an alarm. And so if you set the alarm for 8:30, we have that game, and you'll be able to stream it. And if you can't quite get out of bed, you can just listen to it on the app.
That might be how I'm going to do it, because it's going to take a lot for me to get out of bed to watch my two of my least favorite teams in the NFL. But I'll make sure to set the alarm for that. But the Bills-Bengals game is an interesting one just because Josh Allen's 5-0 on Sunday Night Football. The Bengals, as a team, throughout their history, are 0-9 on Sunday Night Football.
Wow.
So it's going to be which one's going to break first. And the Bengals are starting their whole teams have doubted us thing again against the Bills. They started the whole they're selling AFC Championship tickets last year when the Bengals were also selling AFC Championship game tickets last year when they were going to play the Jaguars before the Chiefs beat the Jaguars. But they always create these weird narratives against the Bills, the Bengals do. So I'm intrigued to see how that one goes. And then other games as well, like the Rams-Packers, could be kind of interesting because I saw something earlier this week. They're not fully committed to saying Jordan Love's going to be the long-term solution at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and he got the Ravens and Seahawks. This was a few years ago. This was kind of the game that won Lamar Jackson the MVP early in the season. So going back to this game will be a very fun one to see. There's a few decent games. Giants-Raiders, the trash can bowl, I guess you could call that one. I mean, you got Aiden O'Connell taking on potentially Tommy DeVito, which I didn't think anybody thought would happen going into the NFL season that we'd see that matchup, but here we are. But I'm excited for this weekend. The Bills-Bengals game, it's going to be stressful going into Sunday Night Football, but hopefully come on the right side of history this time around against the Bengals and not a repeat of what happened in the playoffs last year.
All right, we're running out of time. Real quick, picks of the weekend. Go ahead, let us know what you got, Logan.
So the first one I've got on, we got LSU taking on Bama. I love Jaden Daniels, quarterback for LSU. I think their offense is really fun. Obviously, Alabama's got Kool-Aid McKinstry at corner. You got Dallas Turner coming off the edge. Like, they've got people on defense, but I think Jaden Daniels, not going to be used as Jalen Daniels at Kansas, I think they've got a lot going for them on offense. Both teams are coming off a bye, so this is the best version of both teams. I'm going to pick LSU on the road. 3-point dogs. We're going to go with the Tigers not only covering but winning. Purdue, they're taking on Michigan. Michigan's coming off a bye, and Purdue has this weird trend of doing this throughout recent years of beating top five teams when they have no reason to. I'm not going to say they're going to beat the Wolverines at home,
okay,
but they're 32.5-point dogs.
Okay.
So we're going to say they at least cover. I don't know if they'll win, but I wouldn't be shocked at
this point.
I mean, they've beaten Iowa. They've beaten Ohio State before. It's just weird games, those ones. But then the final one, Tulane and East Carolina. East Carolina's weirdly got a good defense but a terrible offense. Tulane hasn't been able to cover the past couple weeks, so we're going to have East Carolina on at home covering 17 against the Green Wave on Saturday.
I like Notre Dame -3 at Clemson, given everything that's going on there with the Tigers having 4 losses already this season. That's like the first time since 2010, I think, they've had this many losses at this point in the season. Notre Dame's a better team than Clemson. They should be able to cover 3, even if it is on the road. Like I told you earlier, I like Iowa State. I like them to cover 3 against Kansas Saturday night at Jack Trice Stadium. They better put them black uniforms on, man, because that's how it all goes down. And then I'm not going to give the 4 picks I had down, so I'll just decide on the fly here. I like Washington -3 at USC. I think you know how much I've soured on USC and their quarterback, Caleb Williams. And I know Washington hasn't been perfect lately, but I think this is an opportunity that they're going to take advantage of. I just like them better as a team in a rivalry matchup like this. And I'll take Penix over Williams any day now. Washington -3 at USC.
Yeah, I almost actually picked that one. That was one of the 4th ones I picked. I was like, I couldn't bring myself to do either one of them. I ended up staying away from that one.
Well, I'll leave the SEC picks to you. You leave the Pac-12 picks to me. How about that?
That works.
All right, good stuff, Logan. Enjoy the weekend.
Yep, you too.
I'm Colleen Wolf with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Steelers beat the Titans 20-16 to move to 5-3. Kenny Pickett played despite a rib injury and threw a late game winning score to Deontay Johnson. Will Levis, making his first career road start, was sacked 4 times as the Titans fall to 3-5. Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams told reporters that, quote, it was time for some sort of change after head coach Josh McDaniels and general manager David Ziegler were fired after a 3-5 start. Vegas will turn to rookie quarterback Aiden O'Connell this week against the Giants. Ahead of Sunday's showdown in Frankfurt, Germany, Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill told reporters he's ready to face the Chiefs for the first time since being traded, saying it really doesn't matter where we play, they're going to get this work wherever. You can catch the game on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Fall is here, and there is something for everyone as activities are ramping up at the Family YMCA. Check out these great programs to choose from: volleyball, basketball, swimming, taekwondo, and dance. 40-plus fitness classes to meet your individual goals. Newly renovated weight rooms to strengthen your muscles. Plenty of cardio equipment to keep your heart active and strong. The Family YMCA, making a difference for over 157 years.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When it comes to young quarterbacks, you want to be patient. Not everyone develops at a similar rate. After all, Peyton Manning did throw 43 interceptions over his first 2 seasons. But after 5 years in college and over a season and a half of tape in the NFL, it may be time to evaluate the quarterbacking position in Pittsburgh. It's hard to argue with a 5-3 record, but when you look at the team's current roster, the Steelers are far from reaching their potential. QB Kenny Pickett has started 20 games in his NFL career. He's thrown for more than 275 yards just once. He's thrown for multiple touchdown passes in a single game just once in 20 games. That's helped the offense average just over 17 points per game. And with an elite defense, multiple Pro Bowl caliber weapons on offense, and a Super Bowl winning coach all working in your favor, it's hard to make excuses for the young quarterback in Pittsburgh. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also got rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cash back on everyday purchases. Plus, you're not charged any account fees, period. Whether you're moving, starting a new job, or headed into that next stage of your life, whatever it is, Discover Cashback Debit is for everyone. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC. Worn out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on a Football Friday. Got to thank Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for both joining today's show. You and I volleyball happening right now on 106.5 Corn Country. Cedar Falls High School football playoff quarterfinal at Southeast Polk will begin in about 25 minutes or so over on Cruising KCFI, 6:20 pregame, 7 o'clock. Kick. Have a great Friday night, everybody. I'll be back Monday at 5.